Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are so excited to have Connie Stampfel back with us as our Bible study teacher. Hey, Connie, how are you?
I am very well, and thank you so much for letting me come back.
Well, we are so blessed by this teaching that you're going to do in Genesis, and this is the first day, ladies, so if you've never studied Genesis before, now's your opportunity to really dig in, and we've got some notes on our website, naomistable.com. Check it out. We've also got a lot of other things there, including what you're about to hear in these 10-minute podcasts that we put together. Connie, let's talk about Genesis. Why are we doing Genesis, and why is it so important to understand it?
Oh, Genesis is a foundational book for the rest of Scripture, and we find out where we came from. And what our meaning and purpose is. And it so ties with everything else. And once we understand Genesis, the rest of Scripture opens up and has great meaning.
Oh, it does indeed. And of course, we're going to see very early on that Jesus actually is foretold in Genesis. And in fact, the entire book really foretells him. And he's on every page, isn't he?
He is, yes. And we are so thankful he came because the humans completely messed up, and we so need him because he's going to show us what it means to really live in God's image.
Oh, amen. Well, let's get started, ladies. So glad you could join us. Let's open up to Genesis and begin this lesson.
All right. Well, I'm going to have just a few introductory comments to help us kind of set the scene for the book here. And that book, the word Genesis, actually comes from a Greek word which means origins, genesios. And it's used in Genesis to really describe the particulars about a person and his descendants. And we're going to see it 10 or 11 times that word's going to come up. And so it's very important. And so we find out right away that Genesis is going to be a book with a point. It's not just random history. It's history that God reveals to us, and it tells us about the origins of people and the origins of sin. And it also tells us about the origins of, like you mentioned before, Jesus Christ, because it's going to be through one family, the family of Abraham, that Jesus Christ is going to come. And so that's why it's an important book. We need to understand that this the first book of what's called the Pentateuch, which means five volumes. And that really is the Torah, or the basis of the law for the Hebrew peoples. And we've got Genesis as the first one, and we know that from the rest of Scripture and even from what Jesus himself says, that Moses is the writer of this law. And we find also that this covers an account, a huge span of time, because it's going to be from the creation of the world until the time of Moses, which was probably about 1800 B.C. And so it's a huge span of time, and it actually covers more time than any other, the whole rest of the Bible, actually. So we also know that Moses wrote this probably about 1450 to 1510 BC, or perhaps 200 years later. It all depends on when you date the Exodus, which scholars debate on. But we know that Jesus himself validates Genesis because he quotes from it, and he speaks about the law of Moses. And so, Amy, there's a scripture passage there from Luke that I'll have you read. It'll just remind us that what Jesus was talking about when he refers back to Moses and the law.
All right. And ladies, this is from Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled."
All right. And then one other thing we need to keep in mind as we go through this book is that there's a key concept of blessing and cursing. And blessing means God's divine favor and everything that's good for us, while cursing actually means, it literally means to impose a ban or a barrier on someone. And it means that they're separated from that blessing, or separated even from the blessed people. And we're going to see as we go through Genesis that a curse comes fairly quickly because of man's rebellion, and especially at the fall and at the Tower of Babel and at the flood, we're going to see what the effects of the curse might be, but also how God responds to mitigate the curse and how he's eventually going to take care of it again through Jesus Christ. So the other thing we need to understand, that Genesis is really a bookend to the book of Revelation, which is the last book we have in our scripture. And so the curse that's going to start in Genesis is actually going to be completely taken away in Revelation. And so we have a scripture from the end of Revelation, which is going to give us this hope of what God is doing to redeem a people for himself.
And this is Revelation 22:3. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him.
Yes, and so what we're seeing is the end of all things, and really what's going to happen is the curse that's going to happen in Genesis 3, the fall of man, the separation from God is going to be completely taken care of because of Jesus Christ and his cross, and we are going to be restored and reconciled to a right relationship with God. We also need to remember the theme of this whole book is going to be the creation of all things, how sin, man's rebellion, marred that creation, and then how God is working to recreate or redeem his creation. And again, it's ultimately through a special descendant of Abraham, our Lord Jesus Christ. But with that said, let's get right into Genesis. And if Amy, if you would just read that first verse, and then we're going to talk about it. Start.
It's a great verse. It's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
So here we have the beginning of all things. And what we need to remember is that only God was there. And he's the one who's revealed to Moses what happened. And so we take his word and we find out the things that we would know in no other way. But it says, in the beginning, God, and that's the Hebrew word Elohim, which is actually a plural form for God or supreme one or divine being. But it really means the one true God. And as we go through Genesis, we're going to find that when Elohim is used, that plural God, it's always used with a singular verb. And again, it's speaking of the triune God, the three persons and one God. And interestingly enough, that word for created here we have in first verse 1 of Genesis is bere, which is used only in Scripture of God. And so it's a very special creation that only God could do. And we have other places in Scripture that speak again to God creating everything and creating it by the power of his word. And Amy, if you'll take a look at those scriptures and just read them to us, let's listen to the words and just soak in what God is doing as he creates.
All right, and this is found in the Gospel of John, the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I'm going to skip to verse 10 here. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him.
Yes, and so here we find already Jesus Christ is mentioned. And we're going to find throughout Scripture that it talks about the Father creating the world and Jesus Christ creating the world. And really, Jesus Christ as the Word, and we're going to find that God's spoken word is what created everything. He was the agent of creation doing the Father's will. We have other scriptures that, again, talk about God and Jesus Christ both being the creators. And so, Amy, would you read the next one?
Sure. The next one is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist.
Yes. And then that goes along with Colossians 1, 15 to 17, which I'm going to read. And it says, he, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And here in Colossians, it actually means the preeminent one, the superior one, the unique one, the first one of all, not meaning that Jesus Christ was created because he is God. And it says in 16, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so we get a sense in the New Testament, it's helping us understand that God not only created everything, but God also sustains everything. And then we also have a scripture from Hebrews, Amy, which you'll read to us, please.
Yes, this is chapter 1, right in verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world.
All right. And then finally, Revelation. We were talking about how that's a bookend to Genesis and wraps it all up. And in Revelation 4:11, the people around the throne of God are saying, worthy are you, our God and Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Mm. You know, Amy, as we think about this, if God made everything, what do we then owe God?
everything, all of it, all our whole lives.
Exactly. We are creatures. Yeah. And he owns it all. And so he has the sovereign rule over everything, and he controls. And so we need to acknowledge that piece.
Amen.
All right. Well, then let's go on and do Genesis chapter 1, verse 2.
All right. Second verse. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
All right, and so we're getting a few more details about creation, and we find out that the earth at that point still lacked what would be order and content. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 4:23, which also talks about the earth without form and void, and heavens having no light. And actually, Jeremiah is speaking about a kind of an uncreation, or just the total disaster that's going to happen to Judah when it is overrun by Babylon and is going to be taken off into exile. But the whole idea is that only God creates that order out of chaos, and that's what God is doing here. The other thing we need to look at is we see the Spirit of God. And so here already we're seeing the Trinity, the triune God, because the Spirit of God is involved. And it says the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And we get the sense of a bird hovering over the waters, and in sense kind of like nurturing or superintending. And we have just anticipation about what's going to happen next, because God is working. So truly, as we consider just this introduction to Genesis and the first couple of verses, our questions are, again, how is it that man is responsible to the sovereign creator? And then also, how is it that the Trinity is involved, though all three persons of the Trinity are involved in creation?
Excellent questions to ponder, ladies, as you do this. And the study guide and all these verses are going to be available on our website. In fact, they're there right now. You can check it out, naomistable.com. Connie, thank you so much for this Bible study. This is so incredibly important that we understand Genesis and creation and where we come from and why we're here.
Well, it's my pleasure, actually. It's good to study God's Word.
All right, ladies. Well, we are going to be right back. Nancy's going to be joining me. We'll talk a little bit more about this and leave you on your own to do some Bible study work here. That's the homework you have. Again, study notes on our website. We'll be right back.